A very good evening on behalf of Teach 613. We welcome you to Take 10 for Talmud. Ksuvas Daf Yud Tes, Ksuvas 19a, pagination 37. We'll start on the facing page, though, with the Mishnah about 8 lines from the top. There's a special and unique concept regarding a shtar, a document, that a document that comes to Beis Din signed is kemish nechkira eduson. It's as if everything has been cross-examined and it's accepted. Obviously, not everything can be committed to a document. You can't write in a document, I saw the murder of so-and-so done by so-and-so, and just sign it and send it into Beis Din and expect them to mete out punishment without a cross-examination. But there are things that can be committed to a document, such as a loan, and it is unique that if the information about the loan, Mr. So-and-so borrowed money from Mr. So-and-so, if you'd come into Beis Din in person, they would have a conversation with you. They would discuss it with you, cross-examine. But if it comes in a document form, it's accepted. There is, however, one nuance that needs to be attended to when it comes to a document, and that's called kiyum shtaros, to officially state that it's a valid document. And what's done is that the Beis Din verifies that the signatures are authentic, either because they recognize the signatures, they have such signatures on file, or someone comes in and says testimony that this is indeed the signature of so-and-so. Once that's in place, the document is accepted. Says our Mishnah, Ho'edim sha'omru ksav yodenu huzeh, witnesses say, it is indeed our signature, aval anusim hayinu, but we were forced to sign, and the document is fraudulent. We were forced, gun to our heads, we were forced to sign. Kitanim hayinu, or we signed when we were children, it's not a valid testimony. Pesulei edus hayinu, or we were invalid witnesses for whatever reason. Hare elu ne'emonim, we believe them that their signature should not be accepted. It's considered a pesha asa pesha hitir. You're accepting my word that it is my signature. You also have to accept my word in the same breath that says that it's not a valid testimony. But if there are witnesses that say that it is indeed their signature, or their signature is available in a different document and we can verify it, then the witnesses are not believed to say it's our signature, but because we didn't need them to tell us that it's their signature, and therefore this document will stand as a valid document independent of what they say, and they cannot damage it any longer. Let's move on to today's daf, about midway on the page, at the end of a line, Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav. Rav Yehuda said, in the name of Rav, Ha'omer, if a person says, Shtar amona huzeh. This document is a shtar amona. The word amona from emuna, trust, indicates that this document was one of trust. It says that so-and-so borrowed money from so-and-so, but it never really happened. The document was written in advance, in anticipation of a loan that would be tendered, but the loan was never tendered, and a person claims it's a shtar amono. Eino nemon. we don't believe him that it's a shtar amona, and we consider it a valid shtar. Asks the Gemara de Ka'amar Mar, man, who is the one who's saying it's a shtar amona? And the Gemara goes through three possibilities. Ilema de Ka'amar Love, if the borrower is saying, oh, don't collect based on that document, it's a shtar amona, I never really borrowed the money. Pshita, that's obvious that you don't believe him. Kol kamine, that's nothing. If that was true, then every document would be worthless because the lover can always claim, oh, you have a document that says that I borrowed and it's signed by witnesses, but it never happened. That doesn't make sense that we would allow that. Ve'ela deka amar malve must be that the person who's lending the money, or lent the money, is claiming that it's a shtar amona, that it never really happened. Asks the Gemara, Tavo olav bracha. Let a blessing come upon him that he's being so honest and saying that even though he has the document, the loan never really happened and the money isn't owed. Ela, it must be deka amri eidim. It's the witnesses who are saying that it's a shtar amona, and at first glance it sounds good. They're saying that's our testimony, but don't accept it yet because the money never really was lent. So, idiksav yadam yotzim imakam acher, if their signatures can be verified from a different source, pshita delo mehemni, of course you don't believe them. It's the same concept as in the Mishnah, pesha asa, pesha hiter, only works if you're the one who came to validate the document. But if I could validate the document independent of you, I don't need you and I don't have to listen to your excuses. And if the document cannot be verified by a different source, why indeed wouldn't they be believed? And the Gemara answers very, very thoroughly with a possibility for each of the three options, Malva, Lova, and Edim, each claiming that it's a shtar amana and why we don't believe them. Amar Rava, Rava said, La'olam deka amar Lova, the person who borrowed the money is the one who's claiming amana. And we asked, how could he possibly claim amana? But the message over here is, the Amar Rav Huna, Amar Rav, Moda b'shtar shekosva, once he admits that the document was written correctly, ein tzarech lekaimo, we no longer have to verify the witness's signatures. And that's what's being accomplished. When he says amana, he's essentially saying, it's a good document, but I never borrowed money. But what is accomplished is that we won't have to validate the witnesses. Whereas, until now, had he not claimed amana, he could have stalled and said, when you prove that the witnesses really have those signatures, then I would have to pay. Once he says amana, he locks himself into a valid document, and his excuse of amana is not accepted. Abaye Omar, Abaye explains it, La'olam d'amar malve, it's the person who lent the money, who's the one who's saying amana. And we asked, Tavo olav bracha, how nice, thank you for being honest. But the answer is, he's not believed. Ukigon shechav la'acherim uchad Rabbi Nosson. Because it's a case where it causes a loss to somebody else, as is defined in the case of Rabbi Nosson. Rabbi Nosson has what we might call the transitive property, where A, B, and C, representing different people, where A borrowed money from B, and B borrowed money from C. So according to this concept of Rabbi Nosson, the money that A owes to B, and the money that B owes to C, get merged somehow. Afuchi matros salamali, why should I carry the bundle to B and then carry it to C? We could just as well say that A owes the money directly to C. And therefore, if B were to go and say, Amona, you don't really owe the money, he's damaging C. And therefore, you have a case where the person who lent the money wants to claim Amona, and we won't believe him. Because if we're out that money, then it's not really him that loses, it's going to be C that loses, somebody else. And therefore, he's not believed to claim Amona. Finally, five lines up from the bottom, Rav Ashi Yomar, Rav Ashi explains it, La'olam deko amri edim. It's the witnesses who are claiming Amona, Ude'ein ksav yadam yotzu mimakom acher, and their signatures are not provable from anywhere else. Ute ka'amrit, and I know it's bothering you, amai lo mehemni, why aren't they believed? It's like a pesha asa pesha hita. They're only validating the signatures through them, so they should be entitled to say amona, that it was on trust, that the loan never really happened. And the answer is because asur lo la'odom sheyishe shtar amona besoch beso. A person is not allowed to do a shtar amona. It has a name and it had a function, but it wasn't allowed to be done. It was actually prohibited to do this based on the pasuk al tashken be'olecha avlo. You're not allowed to have something that could do unfair damage in your home. And this could do undue damage, unfair damage. Because if you hold on to a shtar amona, what might happen is that your spouse, your children, or even you yourself might end up claiming money that is not due you because the loan never really happened. And therefore, shtar amona is forbidden. And by claiming shtar amona, they're saying we did something awful. And we're not going to believe them, even as witnesses. We're not going to believe them. The document is in front of us. It appears to be valid, and we're going to accept it. So the Gemara is quite thorough over here. An example of how Amona would not be believed from the Lova, from the Malva, and from the Edim. Yashar Koach, thank you for joining.